Chapter 8, Starch and Body, from the World Cooking Systems Atlas. After this chapter, you will stop calling soggy roux, gummy risotto, sticky rice, and a broken cream sauce four different problems. You will see them as one problem in four guises, and you will know which question to ask before reaching for the spoon. 1. Why starch is a verb, not a noun. There is a moment in the home kitchen that almost every cook has lived through. The roux looks right in the pan. You add the milk. You stir. The sauce thickens. You taste it. It is fine on the spoon. You pour it over the gratin, slide it into the oven, and 20 minutes later, the sauce on top has gone glossy and oily. And the sauce underneath has gone grainy. And the dish you meant to bring to the table is now a dish that needs an apology. You did not do anything wrong, exactly. The recipe was followed. The proportions were correct. You whisked. And yet something happened between the pan and the plate that you cannot name. This is the same moment structurally as the rice that came out fine in the rice cooker and went sticky on the plate. As the pasta that was perfect when drained and turned gummy as it sat in the bowl. As the risotto that was creamy at the stove and was a paste by the second helping. As the gnocchi that held their shape in the pot and dissolved on the fork. Most cooks treat these as separate failures, with separate recipes in separate cuisines. They are not separate failures. They are the same failure. Every one of them is a starch that the cook did not know they were managing. This chapter starts from a single shift in vocabulary. Starch is not a noun in this book. Starch is a verb. It is something that happens, a process with a temperature window, a beginning, a middle, and an end. The cook who treats flour as a thing called flour will fight the same battle in every cuisine. The cook who treats flour as a process called gelatinization will read every dish in the world the same way. The wheat in the roux is doing the same work as the rice in the risotto, the cornstarch in the slurry, the potato in the gnocchi, and the chickpea in the hummus. The work has different temperatures, different timings, different finishes, but it is the same work. The work has four stages. They are worth naming up front, because the rest of this chapter will refer to them constantly. Hydration. The starch absorbs water and begins to swell. Swell. The granules expand, sometimes to many times their original size. Gel. Release amylose into the surrounding liquid, and the liquid thickens. Set. The gel on cooling or resting becomes firmer, sometimes irreversibly. A starch failure is almost always a stage failure. Either the cook stopped before the right stage, or pushed past it, or moved through the stages in the wrong order. The fix is usually a stage adjustment. And the cook who knows the four stages can name the fix in one sentence. That is the work of this chapter. 2. The starches and their temperatures. A dish is built when the cook knows which starch is doing the structural work, and at what temperature that starch begins to gel. This is the load-bearing fact of the chapter, and it is worth stating plainly. Every starch has a temperature window in which it gelatinizes. The windows are different. Until you know the window of the starch in front of you, these are the windows worth memorizing for home cooking. The numbers are approximations. Flour brand, grain age, mineral content of the water, and altitude all move them by a few degrees, but the relative order is reliable, and the order is what the cook needs. Wheat starch and flour gelatinizes around 58 to 64 degrees Celsius. This is why a roux thickens as it warms, why a bechamel will not finish below a low simmer, why pasta cooked below a rolling boil tastes raw inside. Rice starch, long grain like basmati or jasmine, gelatinizes around 61 to 78 degrees Celsius. The amylose-heavy long grain rices stay separate when cooked because they finish the gelatinization at higher temperatures and have less amylopectin to bind the grains. Rice starch, short grain, like sushi rice or risotto rice, gelatinizes in a similar window, but the amylopectin-heavy grains release more sticky surface starch, which is why short grain rice clumps and why risotto goes creamy. Cornstarch gelatinizes around 62 to 72 degrees Celsius and gels cleanly with no flour taste residue, which is why it is the slurry of choice in many Chinese and Japanese sauces. Potato starch gelatinizes around 58 to 66 degrees Celsius, lower than cornstarch, with a glossier and more elastic gel. This is why a Japanese ankake, a clear thickened sauce, goes glassy and not cloudy. Arrowroot and tapioca gelatinize around 65 to 75 degrees Celsius, with a clearer gel than wheat or corn. Both break down if held at a boil for long, which is why they are added near the end and not stirred into a long simmer base. A useful intuition, the wheat starch in a roux begins to thicken before the milk has come to a simmer. The cornstarch slurry stirred into a stir-fry sauce thickens almost on contact with the hot wok. The rice in a risotto releases its sticky exterior starch within the first 3 or 4 minutes and continues for 20 more. The pasta cooked in salted water has finished its gelatinization by the time the noodle is bendable. None of these are mysterious. They are the same process, at different temperatures, with different finishes. What the four stages look like in each starch. A roux is the cleanest example, because the cook can see every stage with their eyes. The flour hits warm butter, dry granules, nothing happening yet. As the mixture warms, the granules absorb water from the butter and swell. The mixture becomes pasty and resists the whisk. Milk is added. The granules keep absorbing as the temperature rises. Around 60 degrees Celsius, the swell becomes a gel, granules burst, amylose releases, the liquid thickens. If the cook keeps cooking, and most home cooks do not cook the flour long enough, the raw flour taste cooks out. A white roux finished correctly takes at least 3 minutes of bubbling after the gel begins. Less than that, the sauce will thicken, but taste of raw flour. This is one of the two most common roux failures. The other is browning the butter too far before the flour goes in. A risotto is the same process, with the grain rather than ground flour as the granule. The rice is briefly toasted in fat, then warm stock is added. The grain absorbs the stock. The exterior amylopectin washes off into the cooking liquid. Intermittent stirring suspends it and releases more through grain-on-grain friction. By the 18th minute, the gel stage has been running for some time, and the liquid has body. The set happens in the last minute, when cold butter and grated cheese go in off the heat, the mantecatura, and the sauce tightens around the grain. A risotto served immediately is creamy. A risotto held for 10 minutes has continued to set. The grains have absorbed more liquid, and the dish is a tightening paste. The cook is not racing for temperature. They are racing the set. A pot of plain rice is the same process again, with no fat or stirring. The grain hydrates as the water comes up. The gel runs through the middle of the cook. The set happens during the rest, the 10 or 15 minutes off heat, with the lid still on. Every culture that cooks rice well rests it before opening the pot. The set is not the cook's enemy. It is what makes the grain hold its shape, separate cleanly, and stop cooking from its own heat. Opening the lid at the moment the timer rings interrupts the set, which makes the grain pasty. A cornstarch slurry stirred into a hot stir-fry sauce gelatinizes on contact and finishes in seconds. Below 60 degrees Celsius, it will sit at the bottom of the pan as a white sludge. Held at a rolling boil for several minutes, it loses thickening power, because amylose chains break down with prolonged heat. Cornstarch wants to arrive at a simmer, be stirred for 30 seconds, and be served. A boiled potato that becomes a gnocchi is the same process worked backwards. The cook wants the starch gelatinized only enough to be mashable, with as little water remaining as possible. A baked or steamed potato makes better gnocchi than a boiled one. Boiling adds water that has to be absorbed with extra flour. An extra flour is the difference between a gnocchi that floats lightly and one that sinks. The set happens twice, once when the dough rests before shaping, once when the gnocchi cools after boiling. A new, wet potato makes sticky gnocchi. An old, drier potato makes light ones. The cook is not adding more flour to a wet potato. The cook is choosing a potato that has had 2 weeks to lose its surface moisture. The hummus on the table is the same process again, but the gelatinization is days old. The chickpea was soaked, then cooked at a low simmer with bicarbonate of soda until the granules had collapsed. The set, in this case, is the cooling. A hummus that has rested in the fridge for an hour has a body that a fresh blended hummus does not. The starch is still working. Every one of these is the same process. Different temperatures, different timings, different finishes. The cook's question, at what temperature does this starch hydrate, swell, gel, and set, is the same in every kitchen. The starch contract. Every dish that uses starch has a contract with the eater. The cook agrees to deliver a particular texture at a particular moment, and the eater agrees to eat the dish at that moment. The contract is broken when the dish arrives at the table outside of its texture window. The contract has three parts. The cook should know all three before turning on the heat. The starch's role in the dish. Is the starch the body, the rice and okayu, the chickpea and hummus, the potato and gnocchi? Is it the binder, the flour in a roux, the cornstarch in a stir-fry sauce? Is it the vehicle, the noodle in ramen, the rice in paella, the pasta under the ragu? Each role implies a different management strategy. A binder can be added late and rescued. A vehicle has to time coordinate with the thing it is carrying. A noodle cooked 5 minutes early will not absorb the broth the same way as a noodle pulled at the moment of serving. The starch's set window. How long does the cook have between cooked and overset? A risotto has about 90 seconds at the mantecatura. A pasta in a sauce has about 3 minutes after draining. A roux can hold for 10 if kept warm. A bowl of rice can rest for 15 if covered. A cow soy noodle is best within seconds of leaving the pot. The cook who has not asked this question will be late to the table. The starch's failure mode. What does this starch look like when it is over? Risotto becomes paste. Pasta becomes gummy. Rice becomes sticky and gluey. Roux-bound sauces split if cooled and reheated wrong. Gnocchi turned to mush. Hummus becomes a wet smear. Each failure mode is recognizable. The cook who knows what over looks like will recognize it 3 minutes earlier than the cook who is checking the timer. This is the starch contract, and it is the same contract in every dish that has starch in it. Most home-cooked starch disasters come from one of three contract violations. Starting the gel too late, the rice is still raw inside, the roux still tastes of flour. Pushing past the gel into overset, the risotto is a paste, the pasta is gummy. Or letting the set run uncovered for too long, the rice is dry on top, the sauce has skinned, the noodle has clumped. All three are stage errors, and all three can be named at the moment they happen. 4. How different cuisines handle starch differently. Every cuisine works the four stages. They do not work them the same way. What follows is a quick tour through several traditions, framed as variations on the same grammar, rather than as separate systems. None of these descriptions is exhaustive, and none is the single authentic version. Every one of these cuisines has dozens of regional and household versions of the same dish. French flour is the binder, butter as the medium. The roux is the foundation of the French saucier's vocabulary. White roux for bechamel, blonde for velouté, brown for espagnol. The flour is cooked in fat first, partly to coat the granule and slow the gel, partly to cook out the raw flour taste. The set is held just below boil. Cream and butter are added at the end to extend the carrier without breaking the binder. A French sauce is engineered to hold for service and to thin or tighten predictably as it cools. Italian, pasta water is the working medium, the noodle as the vehicle. The Italian cook treats the pasta cooking water as a starch slurry. By the time the pasta has finished, the water is cloudy with surface amylose and is itself a thickening agent. A spoonful or two of pasta water, emulsified with olive oil and cheese, the pasta is drained 2 minutes before the package says, finished in the pan with the sauce, and served immediately. The set window is about 3 minutes after draining. Pasta cuisine respects that window absolutely. Italian risotto follows the same logic with the grain as the noodle's equivalent. The starch comes from the grain itself, slowly washed off into the stock. Japanese, rice as the body, water as the partner, set as the rest. Japanese rice cookery is the most precise starch management of any home cuisine. The grain is washed until the rinse water runs nearly clear, removing the loose exterior starch that would otherwise gum the surface. The water to rice ratio is measured to within a few grams. The grain is soaked before cooking, so hydration begins before the heat. The cook does not open the lid during the rest, because the rest is the set. A bowl of properly cooked Japanese rice has each grain separate, glossy, and standing. Japanese sauces use katakuriko, potato starch, for thickening, because it gels at a lower temperature than wheat, sets clear and glossy rather than cloudy, and produces the silky body of an ankake. Chinese. Cornstarch slurry is the late binder, often added at the last seconds. The Chinese cook builds the sauce in the wok with stock, soy, wine, and aromatics, then adds the slurry off heat or just at simmer. The slurry gels almost on contact and gives the sauce its characteristic glossy cling to the protein and vegetables. The cook does not pre-make the sauce. The cook makes it in the last minute. Thai, curry and noodle. Coconut cream is the body for curries, rice noodles as the vehicle for the noodle dishes. The coconut cream is cracked, the fat separated by heat, and the curry paste is fried into the cracked cream before the rest of the coconut milk and stock go in. The starch roll here is less obvious than in a French roux, but it is there. The curry paste itself is full of starches from the alliums and tubers, and the small addition of palm sugar at the end gives the sauce a final body. Thai noodle dishes, pad Thai, cow soy, pad CEU, treat the noodle as a vehicle that is finished in the sauce. The starch on the noodle surface, released by the hot wok, binds the sauce to the noodle. Spanish, rice as the texture, saucerat as the goal. Paella treats short grain rice not as a vehicle for sauce, but as the dish itself. The rice is added to the pan after the sofrito and broth, and is not stirred. Stirring would wash off the exterior starch, and create something between risotto and rice pilaf. The Spanish cook wants the rice to absorb the broth in place, gel where it is, and develop a crisp layer at the bottom of the pan, where the starch has set against direct heat. The contract here is unusual. The cook is asking the bottom of the pan to overset, on purpose. Middle Eastern and Levantine. Legume starch is paste, bulgur is body. The chickpea and hummus, the lentil and mujadara, the fava in full. These are starches that have been fully gelatinized and then either pureed or mashed and rested. The cook is working long after the gel stage, in a kitchen tradition that uses cold or room temperature set as a flavor stage of its own. Southeast Asian noodle bowls. The noodle's relationship to the broth is the architecture. A ramen noodle is engineered to hold its bite in hot broth long enough for the eater to finish the bowl. The dough is alkaline, kansui, which slows the surface gel, and the noodle is timed in the boiling water to seconds. A cow soy noodle is boiled separately and added to the curry at the moment of serving, with crisp fried noodles on top for textural contrast. A pho noodle is held cold until the broth is poured over it and finishes in the bowl. Each tradition has solved the same problem: keep the noodle in its texture window long enough to eat it, with a different protocol. The point of the tour is not memorization. It is the shift in the cook's head from every cuisine cooks its starch differently to every cuisine cooks the same starch with the same four stages in a different order and at different temperatures. Once that shift has happened, the cook reads a recipe for a dish they have never made and asks immediately, what starch, which roll, what set window, what failure mode? Within a paragraph of the recipe, the answers are usually visible. 5 worked examples from the catalog. The next move is to look at recipes the cook may have already made, this time through the starch lens. The recipes below are linked to the site. What follows each link is a one-paragraph reading of what starch work the dish is doing. Bechamel sauce. Wheat starch is binder cooked in 2 stages. The classical French mother sauce. The flour is cooked in butter to make a roux. The first stage is to bloom the granule in fat, which slows the gel and coats the granule so it does not lump when the milk arrives. The second stage is the cookout. The flour needs at least 3 minutes of bubbling after the gel begins, or the sauce will taste raw. The third stage, often skipped, is the patient warming with milk. Adding the milk all at once to a hot roux works, but only with vigorous whisking. Adding it in 3 portions is the home cook's safer path. The contract is held. The sauce will sit on a low warmer for 10 or 15 minutes if covered. It splits if cooled and reheated without a fresh whisk of milk. The roux is the binder. The milk is the vehicle. The grating of nutmeg at the end is the aroma. None of those is doing the other's job. Okayu, rice starch is body. Water is the medium, Japanese rice porridge. The cook is asking the rice to gelatinize past the point of separate grains into a homogeneous body that holds its own texture. The water to rice ratio is the inverse of plain rice, somewhere between 5 to 1 and 8 to 1 instead of about 1.2 to 1. And the cook is patient. The grain hydrates, swells, gels, and then continues to gel, the amylopectin slowly washing off the grain and thickening the surrounding liquid. The set window for okayu is generous. The porridge can hold on a low flame for half an hour, getting denser as it goes. The contract here is the opposite of paellas. The cook wants the starch to over-extract, because the starch is the dish. Hayashi rice, wheat starch and tomato body, sauce over rice architecture. A Japanese sauce over rice dish that is a roux thickened beef and tomato stew. The starch work happens twice, once in the roux that binds the sauce, and once in the bowl of rice underneath that catches it. The cook is managing 2 starch contracts in parallel. The rice has to be cooked and rested correctly so the grains stay separate when the sauce hits. The sauce has to be thickened to a viscosity that coats the spoon, but does not seize when it touches the rice. A hayashi rice served with the sauce too tight will sit on top of the rice and not penetrate. Served with the sauce too thin, it will pool in the bowl and make the rice mushy. The cook is calibrating 2 starches against each other. Paella Valenciana, rice starch's texture. Saucerat, as the set Spanish short grain rice, cooked in a wide flat pan, with broth, sofrito, and proteins, and famously not stirred. The exterior starch stays on the grain. The grain absorbs the broth in place, and the bottom layer in contact with the pan develops a crust, the socarrat, where the starch has set against direct heat without water. A paella is a managed overset. The cook listens for the crackle that signals the broth has gone and the bottom is browning, then pulls the pan. The contract is brittle. A paella overset throughout is dry rice. A paella with no socarrat at the bottom is, to Valencian eyes, an incomplete paella. The cook is reading the pan with their ears. Khao soi, wheat noodle in a curry body, two noodle textural play, northern Thai coconut curry noodle. The starch work happens in three places simultaneously. In the soft boiled wheat noodle that goes into the bowl, in the crisp fried wheat noodles that go on top, and in the body of the curry sauce itself, coconut cream and curry paste, with the paste's own starches contributing. The soft noodle is timed to seconds. Overcooked, it loses its bite in the curry within a minute. The crisp noodle is the textural counterpoint that the dish would not survive without. The curry sauce is held just below simmer, because boiling drives off the volatile aromatics of the paste and breaks the cracked coconut emulsion. Three starches, three set windows, one bowl. Shoyu ramen, in a broth contract, a Japanese ramen bowl with a soy tare base. The noodle here is engineered for the broth, alkaline, kansui treated wheat dough that resists going gummy in hot liquid. The noodle is boiled separately to seconds, drained, and placed in the bowl as the broth is poured. From the moment the noodle enters the broth, a clock is running. The noodle has perhaps 2 or 3 minutes in its texture window before it begins to soften past the desired bite. This is why ramen is eaten quickly. Why a bowl of ramen left to cool while the diner takes a phone call is a different dish than one eaten immediately, and why every ramen shop's plating is timed to the second. The noodle is doing the contract. Potato gnocchi, potato starch as structure, set in three stages Italian potato dumplings. The potato is baked or steamed, not boiled. Boiling adds water the cook will have to compensate for with extra flour, and extra flour is the difference between a light and a heavy gnocchi. The potato should be at least 2 weeks old, so it has lost surface moisture. The gelatinized potato starch is mashed warm, mixed with a minimum of flour and egg, rested, shaped, and boiled in salted water just until the gnocchi float. The set stage happens three times, when the dough is rested before shaping, when the gnocchi is boiled and then cooled briefly before saucing, and again on the plate as the eater takes them. A gnocchi that has been overfloured has a doughy bite that no amount of sauce will hide. A gnocchi from a new wet potato has a stickiness that an experienced cook will recognize before the dough is even shaped. The contract here is unforgiving, and the fix is upstream, the potato selection, made days before the cook reaches for the masher. Hummus, legume starch as paste, set as flavor, a Levantine chickpea spread. The chickpea is soaked overnight, cooked with bicarbonate of soda to break down the skins and the cellular structure, and pureed warm with tahini, lemon, and garlic. The starch in the chickpea has been fully gelatinized and is now being worked into a paste that depends on the legume starch and the tahini fat for its body. A hummus that has rested in the fridge for an hour reads as a different dish from a hummus that has just been blended. The set stage continues even off heat. The starch and the fat have time to find each other, and the body tightens into something that holds a spoon mark. The cook is using the cold set as a flavor stage. Common misunderstandings. More flour will thicken it. Sometimes, often the problem is not the amount of flour, but the temperature. A sauce that has not crossed 60 degrees Celsius will not thicken no matter how much flour is in it. A sauce that has been at a hard boil for an hour will have less thickening than it had 30 minutes ago, because amylase chains break down with prolonged heat. The cook who adds more flour to a thin sauce is sometimes fixing the wrong problem. The right question is, has the gel happened, and is it still holding? Rinsing rice removes nutrients. The water that runs off a rinsed grain is mostly exterior amylopectin, the loose surface starch that would otherwise gum the cooked grain. Rinsing is not removing the nutritional starch inside the grain. It is removing the surface starch that interferes with the texture the cook is after. Whether rinsing is right depends on the dish. A Japanese rice for sushi is rinsed until the water runs clear because the cook wants separate glossy grains. A paella rice is not rinsed because the cook wants the exterior starch to bind the grains in place and contribute to the socarrat. Stirring makes risotto creamy. Stirring helps, but the creaminess does not come from stirring per se. It comes from the amylopectin being released from the grain surface into the liquid. Stirring accelerates this release through grain-on-grain friction. A risotto that has been stirred constantly for 20 minutes is creamy, because the cook has agitated the starch off the grain, not because stirring has some magical effect. This is also why a paella with the opposite protocol exists. The cook does not want the starch off the grain, they want it on the grain. You can save a gummy pasta with sauce. No, once pasta has passed its texture window, the structure has set on the wrong side. Adding sauce will hide it for the first bite and reveal it on the second. The cook's options at that point are to call the dish what it is, or to start over. The home cook lesson is upstream. Pull the pasta 2 minutes before the package time, finish in the sauce, and serve. The texture window is not a forgiving zone. A roux can be reheated like any sauce. A flour-thickened sauce that has cooled and gelled will split on reheat if warmed too fast, because the starch has set into a structure the fat wants to escape from. The fix is patient. Warm the sauce gently over low heat. Whisk in a splash of warm milk to loosen the structure, and bring it back to the same simmer it left. A roux-bound sauce that has been left in the fridge overnight will need a few tablespoons of fresh milk and a careful whisk before it will pour again. Cornstarch is just a cheaper flour. Cornstarch and wheat flour gel differently. Cornstarch gels clearer, glossier, and at slightly higher temperatures, and it breaks down with prolonged boiling. Wheat flour gels cloudier, holds up to long simmering, and contributes its own slight taste. They are not interchangeable in the way the home cook often assumes. A bechamel made with cornstarch is a different dish from a bechamel made with flour. It is not a substitute, it is a translation. All rice is rice. Long grain and short grain rice are not the same starch in a different size. The amylose to amylopectin ratio is different. And that ratio is what determines how the grain behaves. How separate it stays, how sticky it becomes, how much body it gives to the cooking liquid. A risotto made with basmati will not work. Not because the grain is wrong, but because the amylose-heavy long grain does not release the exterior amylopectin that gives risotto its body. A sushi rice made with jasmine will not hold its shape on the nigiri for the same reason in reverse. The cook chooses the rice for the dish, not the other way around. In the kitchen I worked in for a year in Hanoi, the cook who handled the rice was the most patient person on the line. He cooked rice for the staff meal every day. He had cooked it in the same pot for, by his count, 8 years. I watched him once on a slow afternoon, and I asked him how he knew when the rice was ready. He did not look up. He said, "I don't know when the rice is ready. The rice knows. I'm waiting for it to tell me." I asked him what the rice was telling him. He said, "Listen." I listened. The pot was on the lowest possible flame, with the lid on, and from inside the pot there was a small, irregular hiss that I had not noticed before. He said, "When the hiss stops, the water is gone. When the hiss stops, do not open the lid. Take the pot off the flame. Wait 15 minutes, then open the lid." I asked him why 15 minutes. He said, 10 is not enough. 20 is too many. 15 is when the rice is finished. I asked, "Finished what?" He looked up for the first time. He said, "Finished cooking itself." I have thought about that sentence often. The cook who waits for the rice to finish cooking itself has understood the set stage in a way that most home cooks have not. The heat is off, the lid is on, the water is gone. The rice is not done yet, not in the structural sense. And what is happening in the closed pot is the set stage running its course. The exterior starch is reabsorbing into the grain. The interior of the grain is finishing its swell. The texture the eater will encounter on the plate is being constructed in those 15 minutes, after the cook has stopped cooking. The same lesson applies, structurally, to almost every starch in this chapter. The risotto's mantecatura is a brief set the cook accelerates. The pasta's 2-minute drain and finish is a set the cook participates in. The roux's gentle simmer is a gel the cook is patient with. The gnocchi's rest is a set the cook respects. The hummus's hour in the fridge is a set the cook lets happen unattended. There is a sentence I have come to think of as the chef's version of the 7-axis chord. The cook does not finish the food. The food finishes itself, if the cook will get out of the way. This is more true of starch than of any other system in the kitchen. The starch knows what stage it is in. The cook's job is to read the stage, set the conditions, and step back. This is also, I should add, why so much home kitchen anxiety happens around starch. The cook who feels they must do something will stir the risotto into paste, open the rice pot too early, add more flour to a sauce that needs only patience, drain the pasta too late. The hardest discipline at the stove is the discipline of the rice cook in Hanoi. Cover the pot, take it off the heat, set the timer, and let the food finish. A small word on safety. This is a cooking chapter, not a food safety manual, but starch has one safety note worth giving plainly, because it is widely underknown in the home kitchen. Cooked rice and Bacillus cereus. Cooked rice left at room temperature for several hours can support the growth of Bacillus cereus, a bacterium whose spores survive the cooking and whose toxin survives subsequent reheating. The practical guidance from food safety authorities is to refrigerate cooked rice within an hour of cooking, store it covered, and reheat once before eating it. This is not a reason to avoid leftover rice. It is a reason to refrigerate it promptly and not to leave the pot of rice on the counter overnight. Which starch is doing the structural work? Wheat, rice, potato, corn, legume, or some combination? The recipe will usually name the ingredient, but it will not always name the role. A dish with both pasta and potato in it, a Ligurian trophy al pesto with potatoes and green beans, has two starches working in parallel, with different windows and different roles. The cook should know which is the body and which is the texture before starting. What role is the starch playing? Body, binder, or vehicle? Body is the dish itself. Okayu, hummus, gnocchi. Binder is what holds the sauce together. Roux, slurry. Vehicle is what carries the rest of the dish. Rice and paella, noodle and ramen. A starch and body role cannot be salvaged late. A starch and binder role often can. The starch and vehicle role has the tightest set window of the three. What is the starch's gelatinization window? The numbers from paragraph 2 are worth keeping at the back of the mind. Wheat at 58 to 64 degrees Celsius, rice at 61 to 78 degrees Celsius, corn at 62 to 72 degrees Celsius, potato at 58 to 66 degrees Celsius. The cook does not need a thermometer to use this knowledge. Knowing the order is enough. A cornstarch slurry needs a hotter sauce than a flour roux. A potato thickener will set glossier and cooler than a wheat one. The dish's heat protocol should respect the starch's window. Where is the set, and what is its window? The set is the cook's tightest constraint. A risotto's set window is 90 seconds. A pasta's is 3 minutes. A roux's is 10 if held. A rice's rest is 15. The cook who is unsure about the set window of a new dish should err on the side of serving earlier rather than later. Almost every starch failure visible at the table is a set window that closed before the eater sat down. What does over look like? The cook should be able to picture the failure mode before it happens. Risotto overset is paste. Pasta overset is gum. Rice overset is dry on top and gluey at the bottom. Sauce overset is sticky. Gnocchi overset is mush. A cook who can picture the failure mode 3 minutes before it arrives can prevent it. A cook who cannot is at the mercy of the timer. These 5 questions take about a minute to run in real time before the first ingredient hits the pan. They are not a substitute for cooking the dish many times. They are a way to read a recipe more accurately the first time, so the cook is not surprised at the plate. The cook who runs these questions over a recipe they have never made before will, increasingly, find themselves doing something the inexperienced cook cannot: predicting how the dish will fail before it has failed, and adjusting the protocol upstream. This is the work of the chef's eye, transferred to the home kitchen. It is not magic. It is the 4 stages, the 7 cuisines, and the 5 questions. The contract. Every starch dish has a contract with the eater: role, set window, failure mode. The cook who names the contract before turning on the heat is ahead of the cook who is reacting at the stove. Fourth, the patience. The starch finishes itself if the cook will get out of the way. The risotto sets, the rice rests, the gnocchi cools, the hummus thickens. And the cook's job, in each case, is to step back from the food and let the food finish. The hardest discipline at the stove is the discipline of stopping. Starch is the system that teaches it most clearly. What the reader has not gained is a list of recipes. That is the rest of the book and the rest of the site. The recipes are the worked examples.